Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 20th of January, recording at 9:54 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. Pretty much a red ink day. A fair amount of selling pressure in stock markets. China took a hit. Most of Asia was lower. Malaysian stock market just eked out a new high. And Europe, declines of the order of 2%. Wall Street, 1% and a bit down. The U.S. market clawed back maybe 40% of its earlier decline. And Brazil, down 2.44% to 68,200. What else? Long-dated government bonds against this background were quite strong. That's bond prices, of course. Probably the biggest news on the day was a surge in the U.S. dollar, up to 78.34 on the dollar index. That's mostly against the euro, of course. That's up 846 points. That's a big gain. And elsewhere, precious metals were weak, although palladium recovered the whole decline and platinum regained most of it. Not so silver, though, down 90 cents, and gold down $27. More on those in a moment. Crude oil, weaker, has fallen back to 77.59. Industrial metals were down. Agricultural commodities were mostly easier, although I noticed that sugar was up on the day. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously there's some nervousness in terms of stock markets. Now, I don't think there's any profound news to change the outlook here or to lead to a sudden sharp reaction. But sometimes it doesn't take very much to trigger a change in sentiment, and markets do move on sentiment more than anything else on a shorter term basis. You might recall Owen mentioning on Monday that last week we had seen a few downside weekly key reversals. I also mentioned that in the audio on Monday, along with the fact that we had starting to say from last week that we had a short-term overbought condition, as I mentioned in the audios last week, and therefore we were due for a little bit of a consolidation. Well, I think that consolidation gathered a bit of pace in here today. What it has done is taken short-term indicators, and I'm referring now to the stochastics indicators, which you can see in the chart library, and it's taken them from a short-term overbought condition in response to the good year-end and beginning of January moves, and it's now starting to create some short-term oversold conditions. So we may not see much in the way of downside follow-through this time around. If I'm wrong on that, the one thing that does concern me a little bit is that if we had a consensus at the beginning of the year, it was that stock markets would do well initially and then run into trouble in the second half of the year. On the basis of just what I read and saw, which is hardly scientific, but based on that observation, I felt that we did have a consensus along those lines. And so I'm thinking out loud, but there's a possibility that maybe people decided to take some money off the table, to coin a phrase, a little bit earlier. We'll see. But in the meantime, some short-term oversold conditions are developing. Some of these stock market indices have come back to support levels. And it looks so far like a consolidation. If it's going to turn into anything worse, we will see breaks in the progression of higher reaction lows. Now, that hasn't occurred since the July low last year. And that's important, and I'm talking, when I say that hasn't occurred, I'm talking about the vast majority of stock market indices, and particularly all the leaders. Where the progressions of higher reaction lows have been broken, it's usually been markets, well, it has been markets where there's been a problem, and that problem has ranged from, the UAE with the Dubai situation, to Greek and the Greece and the debt concerns. But overall, as I say, these other stock markets have the hallmarks of short to medium term upward trends, which are characterized by higher reaction lows. Until those are eventually broken, I wouldn't be too worried about what's taking place here. Now, what about the US dollar? Well, my hunch is that it will remain range bound against a majority of currencies, but we know that following the dollar's sell-off that we saw during the second half of last year, they did get down to a level where it was comparatively cheap on a purchasing power parity basis. It's not something I mention all that often, but certainly the dollar, by virtue of that fall, was cheaper on a purchasing power parity basis than the euro, for instance. And I think there's little doubt that the ECB has wanted to engineer a softer euro, much the way the Bank of Japan wants to engineer a softer yen. I would say, based on the provisional evidence here, the ECB is doing a heck of a lot better job of it than the Bank of Japan. But overall, I would be surprised if a dollar rally developed legs anything like what we saw. You might remember that powerful rally that occurred back from August 2008 into November, which was related to the meltdown in world stock markets. One, I don't expect the meltdown in world stock markets to be repeated anytime soon, and I don't see why a somewhat undervalued dollar on a PPP basis should get more than a technical rally and some choppy action in here. But today was certainly a day for dollar bulls. And as a consequence, that move might have actually been a little bit too strong. In other words, we now have a little short-term overbought condition. In terms of metals, the fact that platinum actually closed actually recovered most of its losses, and that palladium actually closed up on the day is probably a good sign that we won't see too much additional selling pressure. But it was a bit of a perfect storm for gold and silver here today, with the dollar being very strong and stock markets being relatively soft. But the lead indicator, I maintain, is palladium. And commonality is a big theme at Fuller Money. When we look at sectors that have a lot in common, such as precious metals, same thing would apply to industrial metals, but I think it's even stronger with precious metals, that each medium-term trend will have a leader. And that leadership may vary, but if you identify the leader, and clearly it's been palladium in this cycle, that it'll usually lead in both directions. So palladium, which has been accelerating upwards recently, but it's still in form. And I would be surprised if palladium didn't break downwards before we saw any significant downward break in gold or silver. Therefore, I'll stick my neck out and say I don't think that we will see the progressions of higher reaction lows, which define the medium-term uptrends for gold and silver. I don't think we'll see those broken. And a bit of a mantra at Fuller Money over the years has been that with commodities, which can be quite volatile, we've often said, don't pay up for commodities, buy them on setbacks. It's a policy that I have tried to implement for the most part myself, and sometimes my enthusiasm would get the better of me and I would pay up, but that can be more expensive, and the better purchases are certainly on setbacks, and we saw a good one in here today. What else to mention? Crude oil. Well, the cold weather snap is over. It'll be very interesting to see where crude next finds support. It's still within its overall ranging upward trend, but there's more ranging than trending, or there has been over the last few months, and it's unable to maintain breaks to new highs, as we've seen once again. So we basically have a sort of steady crude oil market. That's not a problem for the global economy. Long-dated bond yields, government bond yields, are not backing up all that much. They look like they have the potential to over the medium term, but the point is they're not doing it at the moment. And I think overall the environment is still conducive to some further stock market gains over the medium term. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.